Hello, Facebook Ads people. I'm Konstantinos, and this is the Facebook Ads Breaking News Podcast. Hello, Facebook Ads people. I'm Konstantinos, and this is another podcast. Let's begin. I have my new gadget over here. So, guys, I have a lot of things that I want to discuss with you. We're going to talk about AI also, as you can see from the title. First of all, again, I'm going to try to go fast because it's always that Facebook has things, and I need to tell you about all of this stuff so that we can all be well educated about things, and then we'll go to your questions in some freelancer diaries. I'm starting to running out of freelancer diaries images, but it's at the end of the podcast, so I don't think it really matters. We will see how it goes. Now, news of the week. We had some very bad results on Monday and Sunday in total. We didn't have any problems with ads stopping or whatever. And the other thing is that the rest of the month, I consider it good. Okay, I don't see any issues or any problems to the other accounts except from this week, which is a little bit problematic. Other than that, it's totally fine. So based on the fact that we had problems with the 23rd of April and in general with different things the previous month and at the start of this one, I think that now we are going to be fine. Now, the main topic for today is going to be the pain point method, which I have created a video about, and I uploaded some days ago. I believe it was one day ago or 2 days ago, and I'm going to put a link on the description so that you will be able to see it. What is the pain method? So basically, you know that we have the AI, and there are a lot of things that are happening because of the AI. We are improving on several things, and on other things people are afraid, and they're talking bad about AI and everything. Let me tell you my experience and what I believe that is going to happen with AI. I believe that it's going to be like the industrialization of the industry or of our societies, if we may call it. That what we had over there, it was whoever was just a worker that was doing this from one place to another, just a move that somebody had to be there to do. All of these people lost their jobs from the machinery that came. And the people that they were actually the ones that they were tweaking the machinery, or they were doing such a complex thing that a machinery couldn't do, they kept their jobs. And the ones that they didn't have any skills, they became poor. And the others, they became the middle class and the rich people. So the AI is going to do exactly the same. It's going to replace all of these useless jobs, like bad copywriters, for example, okay, or people that they create logos by downloading logos from Graphic River and then just changing the name of the company on the logo and everything. So all of these stupid jobs are going to be gone. And in our area, the people who are just doing ads like VAs, and they just go and they create just one campaign and that's it and all of that, these people are going to stop working because most probably there's going to come an AI which is going to replace them. I believe that people like me, I want to believe that we are going to be able to regulate the AI on how it's going to work and do better and stuff, which is what I explained before as the complex thing that I think that it cannot be replaced by AI. Maybe I'm wrong. Nobody knows. But even if that point reaches out, most probably I will be already rich enough to, you know, not do Facebook ads. If AI wins, fine, let it be. Maybe I'm going to make my own AI with my own preferences, for example, and I'm going to calibrate it in what I believe about the algorithm, and then I'm going to sell that. Who knows? There are so many things that they can change in all of these years. The pain point method, though, because we're talking about now and what we can do now, it's based, of course, in ChatGPT. You all know ChatGPT. Everybody is using it. I think that you should go and you should see the video. Basically, the idea is that when you're, let's say, for example, the classic thing, let's sell this pen, for example, okay? Why would somebody want to buy a pen? For example, you can say that one pain point is because he wants to write something. Second thing that you can say as a pain point is that because somebody wants to buy a Montblanc pen and he wants to flex for the lifestyle. Another one, because he wants to have a serious status about that. This is a collectible pen, so maybe somebody can say that this he's buying that because it's a collectible piece. This specifically is the Einstein Limited Edition Mont Blanc. So you have all of these different categories, and these are the pain points why somebody would buy. Now, most of the times, what the mistake that the companies are doing is that, first of all, they don't exploit all of their pain points. For example, they are exploiting one pain point because they have seen that this is the pain point that's convincing people to buy. The other pain points, they're not just exploiting because they are having over there their success. This is a mistake because it's exactly the same thing as the creatives. You do different creatives from different aspects of, as we discussed here, in order to penetrate the market from different entry points and convince people from these different standing points. This is something that you need to do, and this is the pain point method that I have developed, that basically what you do is that you take all of these pain points, you create different hooks out of them, and then you create main copies, and you go and you attach these hooks to the copy. But it doesn't stop only there. It also goes to the creatives. So you can create one creative, which is going to be the main, and then you have different hooks in each one of them. And in that process, ChatGPT is helping you, your personal ideas are helping you, and you're just creating 5 hooks for each of the pain points. And you have your main copies, which are going to be 10 copies, for example. And you can create then, based on pain points, maybe 10 or 15 pain points. And you can see which pain point is the one that people like. They resonate with that. They say, okay, this is the reason that I want to buy this pen. Okay, because there are people with different ideas, but of course there are some, most of the people, they will have the same ideas. For example, the fact that you can write with this pen is something that is going to resonate with most people. The fact that this is a collectible piece, it's going to resonate with a small percentage of people, but maybe you can use this in other interests. So you can go like this. So the situation is that with that way, you can do 2 things. First of all, you can have several creatives, which is an issue. For example, a lot of times people have 1 creative, 2 creatives, 3 creatives, but with this way you can have 50, 60, because you're just changing the hook and it's just going to change the text over there. The second thing is that you are realizing if you can sell a product from another perspective also. For example, let's say that you have a lunch kit, okay, and you're having an ad which is all about having the lunch kit to go to your job because you are a worker. And then you have a lunch kit video, which is all about preparing a lunch kit for the children that they will go. So in the case number 1, you target somebody who goes to work, most probably in a work that he's going to be a worker, a builder or something like that, or working outside or remotely, not remotely in that way, but in a fast distance from the home, he's not coming back. Maybe inside the forest, whatever. So you're trying to target this kind of people. And then on the other, you have the aspect of trying to target moms that they want to prepare a lunchbox for the children to the school. So please take the time. What's the pain method? Because I'm showing also one example over there of how it's working and how I scaled with this specific method several brands. I think it's a little bit of... it's a little bit of not rocket science. It's not like I have found something crazy like the crazy method. But it's all about how you can use all of this wealth coming from ChatGPT and AI in order to be able to have more and more results, because we have seen that creatives are very important. Facebook is going through an era of consolidation, so the only thing that is going to be left is going to be the copy and the creatives that you're going to change, and most probably you will do one ad set with a consolidation method. Why am I saying that? Because I'm starting realizing that the crazy method, it's working more in new accounts than in super trained accounts, because over there you're not going to do the crazy method on a super trained account. You're just going to do the Advantage Plus, okay? And now everybody has it. So we go through a period that the crazy method is going to still work, but it's going to work for newer accounts, and I have zero issues with that, okay? It served me very well for years. And then we are going to do Advantage Plus and all the videos that I have in the channel explaining how to optimize the Advantage Plus and everything. But still, if you think of it, Facebook is always doing that. They start with an idea, like, for example, the CBO, that didn't start well, but it ended up well. So the idea of consolidation, it's not something that we can keep, because I'm against consolidation right now, but it's not something that I'm going to keep avoiding forever, because eventually they are building the algorithm in a way that is going to work with the consolidation. Another thing that I have seen is that in bigger accounts with trained pixels, even when I do crazy method, it's still working, but I need to lower the amount of ad sets. Back in the day, I could do 50 ad sets, 50 dynamic ad sets with a budget of $1,000 in a CBO. Now I'm going to limit it to 10, 15. For the crazy method, and I won't do more. So I'm actually happy with myself because I'm adapting and I'm not just, as we call it, one trick pony that found one something and he keeps doing that without watching if it's working or anything. But I think that the future goes towards consolidation and Advantage Plus. Maybe in, or not maybe, as it is now, and I believe it's going to stay like this because it's broad targeting, it's not going to work for new accounts. On the other hand, they are introducing things on the Advantage Plus like targeting, excluding ages and stuff. So I believe that this is going to start changing from their end. And the other thing that I want to say is that I believe that the future game is all about consolidation and different creatives and different copies. This is what is going to differentiate advertisers between, and of course, social proof in these posts using them. And we know that Advantage Plus with post IDs, it's working very, very well. So go watch the pain point. I think you're going to like it. I think if you start using it, it's not for lazy people. Sorry if you are lazy. Crazy method is a little bit more easy to do. But the pain point needs some extra work. So if you're lazy, I'm sorry, but you will have to go through the struggle. And I guess by using it and stuff, let me know. The most important thing that I want you to get from this discussion is that a lot of times there are companies that are selling something, but they can sell much more if they penetrate another market with another pain point and solve a problem. And a lot of times they don't know it. So what I'm thinking is that always in all brands, we should test and see the pain points in order to see if we can penetrate more the market and if we are exploiting all the possibilities. Now, let's go to some other news. This is what I wanted to share about the pain point. I have seen in a forum that the aggregated events most probably are going to be removed. And this guy was actually mentioning that he could see it in one account. I haven't seen it yet, but it's really shocking if it's true. So this guy is working with several accounts. He's not famous, but I have seen the way that he replies. I can understand he's working with several accounts. I don't agree with him in a lot of things, but still he has access to several accounts. Saying that aggregate events are going to go away based on the fact also that we have the pixel coming on the next, on the pixel removing, removal on the next year. Also saying that the domains are going to be removed, as a verification domain, running with domains. No verification domain, no aggregated events. No value optimization, this toggle on off switch that we have inside there, and no prioritization of events. So there are two things that are happening here. Either this is a false news, and I want you to forgive me if it is, but just consider it that maybe it is. But still, here it's a podcast and we discuss things about now. It's not like I did a normal video about it. Or things are going very well with reporting within the Facebook platform, and Meta is taking another step to that, which it's going to be a very good scenario, because it means that most probably we might be able to go back to the normal good days that we had before that. So we will see. I will keep you posted about that. Another thing that I want to mention is this. I have made a video that I'm saying that the 10K funding opportunity that was there, it was all about website and shop, basically, which is the option that we are seeing inside the asset level. And it's sending people not only to the website of the e-commerce, but also to the shop, and people can convert also inside the shop. And we discussed that in the previous podcast, basically, that Meta is making changes and they want to charge, I don't remember the percentage, for all the people that they're going to do transactions within the Meta shops and everything. And they're going to become mandatory. It's going to become a mandatory option eventually. To go and target there, for example, to go and do the ads like this, so that people can buy also from the shop. It makes sense from one side, because they believe that the platform now, so they got f***ed up, okay? And they said, how are we going to prevent this from happening again? We are going to have to do all the purchases within Facebook and keep all the data here. This is how we're going to become super powerful again. So I think that this is what they are trying to do, but also they are giving a very high percentage of for the transaction side, which is not even close to what Shopify or other platforms are giving for each of the transactions. So I don't know how this is going to make sense. I know that they gave all of this credit for the companies to use it, but they have made also another thing, and I can tell you also that from my ad accounts, it worked very well, very well. I had better ROAS when I used shop and website instead of using just a website. But now we know why, because over here it says, no wonder, this is a tweet, no wonder shop is performing better than the regular website placement. Facebook is giving some of the users a 20% discount, and they're refunding the brands in Shopify. I checked few of our clients and one is seeing the same, although they didn't opt in anything like this. Super strange. I have seen it also. And this is the message that we see over here, which says, learn more. It's the call to action button. Above that, it's the image. It says 20% off from Instagram when you check out at this shop. See details. So basically, they're bribing the customers to go and complete this so that everybody can be convinced, or maybe they want to push people to complete the checkout so that they can fix the algorithm with that, something like this, or maybe educate the people about that so that they can say, okay, it's not a problem to complete my purchase within Facebook. I should not go to the site. Maybe they want to educate because they believe that people are not educated in finishing the purchase within the social media platform. Maybe they want to do it so that more advertisers can see that it's good, so that more can use it and the algorithm can get more data. Because don't get me wrong, what happened with the Advantage Plus is that they gave a lot of money. It's not their money, basically. It's money that they didn't get paid. So they gave credits to a lot of people so that they can start using the Advantage Plus. And I believe that this is the reason that we go faster to an era of consolidation, because now a lot of people are using Advantage Plus because of that. And basically, now that everybody's using Advantage Plus, we go faster training the algorithm, getting data for that. Before that, the previous year, we were having different credits that they were giving credits to run shop ads. But let me tell you that it wasn't working well. And of course, as I said, always Facebook has this learning curve that it's going to learn based on spending with several platforms. Maybe they realize that it's not going to work like this also. So now what are they doing? They are educating the customers to buy so that this can be a main thing, because two reasons. First of all, it's going to make them more powerful. If people start to convert within the Facebook platform, we will have 100% reporting like this. Okay. And this is going to help a lot. And we will go back to a normal periods, which is going to make the data more accurate So it's going to be more advertisers inside there because the CPMs are going to drop. The second thing is that except from being super powerful and controlling the data this time instead, so that they are not going to be worried about a third party or somebody like iOS or Android to stop the communication. Except from this fact, I believe that another big reason is because it's going to be another income. So basically what they were doing, they were the intermediate. They were sending traffic to a site and in the site people were converting. So what if now people convert there and they become a marketplace so that they can take also percentage for each of the transaction, like a Shopify platform, for example. And all of this is money driven, of course, and it makes sense, but we will be here in order to monitor them. And this is why I showed you this. I think that you should start using website and shop. I don't know if this option, for example, is only available on the ad accounts that they have the credits. I don't know that, but still everybody is noticing that. Now, I had a comment from one of my from Eva Sano here. By the way, Eva, I've seen that you have not subscribed. Also, I can see several other people that I'm answering, like Paulius, for example, Zamius over here, that I'm answering questions again and again to the YouTube channel that you haven't subscribed. Guys, it's just a button. Help a guy over here, okay? I'm trying to answer all of your comments, everything and stuff. I don't want to look like I'm begging for it. This is why I'm not saying so much on my YouTube videos that please do that. It's helping with the algorithm and stuff. So do whatever you want at the end of the day. But I think that for you it's just a button to push. For me, it's important. So whatever, even if you don't, I'm going to continue answering on the same pace all the messages. It doesn't matter. So we have, speaking of AI, what do you think about recently announced Meta Lattice? So she made this comment on my pain point method, and over here we can see about Meta Lattice. It says about some things about Meta Lattice, the AI. It says about is capable of improving the performance of our ads system holistically. We've supercharged its performance with a high capacity architecture that allows our ad system to more broadly and deeply understand new concepts and relationships. Okay, full of bullshit. Early results from our deployment on Instagram show that knowledge sharing across its different surfaces, feed, story, feeds and reels, and across various advertisers like click videos and everything, increased performance for advertisers, joint optimization of value for people and advertisers result in better ad experience for people. So basically it says here that this AI, when it's going to work, it's going to take different things from feed, story, reels and stuff. They're going to, it's like the feed, stories and reels inside the ads. They're going to communicate with each other, giving data so that each one of them can do better. Improve AI efficiency, maintaining and advancing fewer, more powerful models, makes our overall ads system more nimble in adopting future AI innovations, driving greater value for our advertisers. Okay, bullshit again. Faster adaptability, as people's expectations of how their data is used continue to evolve regularly and policies from government and industry players are also changing, evolving data, use regulations and platform, bullshit again. So basically over here, what we're seeing is that still something that they say that is going to improve the results of Facebook ads. But I think that, to be honest with you, Eva, it's too early to say if an AI is working. If it was anything, I can tell you that the DALL-E 2 AI that I did a test with the different backgrounds, because this is the job that it does. It puts different backgrounds. I can tell you that it failed miserably, and that the white background, the normal one, the catalog images are the ones that they had the most sales. And this experiment was conducted in Germany and it didn't go that well for the AI. So I think that we still have a lot of time ahead of us. Of course, we can see that the developments on AI are they're super fast. For example, we all remember how ChatGPT was some months ago and how it is now and how fast all of this is moving, but we will see. On another here, it says Meta today announced an AI sandbox for advertisers to help them create alternative copies, background generation through text prompts and image cropping for Facebook or Instagram ads. The first feature let brands generate different variations of the same copy for different audiences while trying to keep the core message of the ad similar, the same thing that we do on PainPoint. The background generated feature makes it easier to create different assets for a campaign. Finally, the image cropping feature helps companies create visuals in different aspect ratios for various mediums such as social posts, stories, and short videos like Reels. So you don't need to have the different dimensions for the ads. It's going to do it for you, which is amazing. Imagine putting a video which is one by one and you have texts, and then the AI is making it in a way that the texts are going to be fine even on the story mode when it's going to be resized on 9x16x8. The company said that these features are available to select advertisers at the moment and it will expand to more advertisers in July. Basically, when Facebook is doing something, they are announcing the change. And when they decide to go everywhere, they announce the change and they start with 10% of the accounts, then 20% of the accounts, 30%. And by it's taking most of the times 1 year, they're going to reach 100%. Maybe they're going to stop in the process. By the way, if they see on 30% that people don't like it or it causes an issue, they're going to stop it. But looks like on July, we're going to have more people with that. Currently, we're working with a small group of advertisers in order to quickly gather feedback that we can use to make these products even better. In July, we will begin gradually expanding access to more advertisers with plan to add some of these features into our products later this year. Meta's announcement came after the company's CTO, blah, blah, said last month that the company was looking to use generate AI tech for ads, like everybody. We'll start seeing some of them this year. We just created a new team, the generative AI team. You can create also another team about customer support because your customer support sucks. A couple months ago, they're very busy. Yeah. Why not? It's probably the area that I'm spending the most of my time. We can understand from the customer support that you don't care about that, as well as Mark Zuckerberg. Yes, I think that some of you should spend some time on customer support. Meta had, or maybe make an AI about customer support that's going to answer better than these stupid idiot robots that are working there and they just give template answers. Meta had positive quarterly results on Q1 2023. The company beat analyst expectation and posted year-on-year revenue growth for the first time in 3 quarters. Mark Zuckerberg mentioned that while the tech giant has started working on different AI tools, it remained committed to metaverse development. How can I say that? We have some expressions in the Greek language about that, but the fact that Mark is... But the fact that Mark is already doesn't understand about metaverse and he wants to, maybe he's ahead of all of us, okay? But still, it's going to make me use my favorite expression about that. It's in the Greek language, but it says a mute guy f**ks a deaf guy and the blind guy is laughing. This is the paradox that we are seeing here by watching Mark Zuckerberg being so focused on metaverse and everything and not being focused on other things that are going to make the platform better. Another thing is that here we can see that Mark actually is also super focused on Jiu-Jitsu and he won a tournament over here. A gold medal, actually, as a Jiu-Jitsu, which is actually taking away our dream of at some point finding him and kick his ass, because now he can easily defend himself. So that goes away also. One last thing before we go to your questions is that I don't know if we have discussed this, but I'm going to share it again because I have started using it. It says, a new look, Meta has revitalized branded content ads to paid partnership. So basically, so far, what you could do about branded content ads is that somebody, now that I'm discussing it, I feel like we have discussed it, but again, I will tell you the new things about it. So basically, what Meta announced is that you can now do it without having someone to your collab sender. Back in the day, you have to send him an invitation, come to your collab sender, then approve, blah, blah. Now they can do their posts, the influencers, they can do the post, which is making, as they say here, UGC is stronger than ever. And they can do hashtags, mentions, product tags, people tag, Instagram collab posts and everything. So when they do all of that, you can go to your ads manager, you can use, because you're going to see in the post ID, when you put select existing post, you will see over there in the post that says Facebook, Instagram, branded ads. Over there, you will be able to see the ones. And as soon as you use one, it sends them a message that this company wants to use your ad, blah, blah. And if they accept, that's it, boom. You're done. So I think that this is a very good development. I have used it. It's working. It's very fast and made everything easier because right now you can put people to send them a product. They're going to do UGC content for you, post it in their page, and then you can use it from there. And the other thing is that they don't have to go through a process. Okay, I created the videos. They send you back. You have to edit them. You have to do it. Let them create. This is their job after all, okay? They're influencers and they need to be able to do that. So I think that if you don't know that, you should start testing it and take it from there. Let's go to the question of this guy over here. I have 70 products on my e-commerce store. I will be launching soon. What would you recommend for a beginner? Facebook paid ads or catalog ads? Most probably he's talking about conversion ads. I wouldn't suggest you to do catalog ads, but I wouldn't suggest you also not to test it. So whenever I'm replying something like this, I'm going to say that use both and see what is working. I have seen catalog ads working in cold traffic, but I think that when you're starting with a company, you need to start running ads with different products. Your pixel is fairly new, so I think that I would do conversion ads with different targeting, and I would also do different creatives, different copies and stuff, start seeing what is working, and then focus in my best sellers instead of just doing a catalog ad and just changing only the copy. Also, the catalog ads, you don't have a strong copy. You need videos on the conversion ads. You can do videos and stuff. On catalog ads, you can just do images and stuff. I don't find it super powerful. I like to use them on retargeting sometimes, even on some Advantage Plus campaigns. I'm using catalog ads, but most of the times I use it as one ad, because even if you use it with others, the catalog is going to win anyway. So yeah, that's my answer to you. And then the next question that comes is if I should use Advantage Plus, for example. Also, Advantage Plus is broad. I have seen it working in new ad accounts from the beginning, but also it's broad, and we need to say here that if your pixel is new, maybe you should go with the traditional ways initially before you are able to go over there. Now, let's go to the next question. Hi, Konstantinos. I was watching some videos on YouTube about scaling with Facebook ads, and everyone mostly agrees that the best scaling strategy is to increase the budget. Who is everybody? Me personally... if I see something that works, I usually duplicate the same campaign to a bigger daily budget. However, some say that by doing that, you will be competing against your own ads, so the strategy is not very optimal. Can you please comment on that? I don't believe in competing with yourself. I believe in actual results. You have to understand that you're talking with somebody that has done it with 50k per day, 60, 70k per day. And I have done it with multiple campaigns and it's working flawlessly. My issue with just scaling one campaign when it's working is that you are ending up If it's going to fail, you're going to end up losing everything. If you have one campaign, then another, another, another. If one of them is not working, you just relaunch this one that doesn't work and you don't start from the beginning. So this is my problem with this strategy of just working with one campaign and stuff. And you have to also understand that a lot of times people are just proposing things that are convenient for them. If it is an agency that is saying that so that they can do one campaign per client, it makes sense. But if you have a different plan of how to scale an account and everything, I'm showing you, for example, you have case studies of the last that I uploaded for United States and United Kingdom. You can see over there that they have several campaigns. I don't have just one or scaling this one. It doesn't make any sense because this goes also against the other thing that I told you. Okay, consolidation. Fine. If it's working, it's working. We're not going to do crazy method. Let's not do crazy method. Let's do consolidation with Advanced Plus. But what's our job? To just do one campaign and then toss inside creatives whenever? No, because it cannot work. I showed you on the Advantage Plus examples why it's not working. And after that, we need to scale. How are we going to scale with several creatives? We use consolidation, but not consolidation of the whole account. It doesn't make any sense. Still, I don't believe that you're competing with yourself as long as the ROAS is there. If the ROAS is there, there's no point of discussing about competition with yourself. Let's go to the next one. Thanks for answering all of my questions. I have one more. No, you don't have one more. You had several, but it's fine. I'm planning of freelancing one of my brands that I've used to run in the past. I have a total over how much is this? 10,000 sales on the Pixel. But the last time I've generated sales was over 6 months ago. If I relaunch on the same Pixel, would that be the same as relaunching on a new Pixel? As I've heard, after no activity, all the data disappears. I don't believe that the data disappear from the Pixel, but here we need to talk about the data that stay in order for you to use a custom audience. And I know that you're not using, for no reason, the 6 months, because 6 months is 180 days, and it's the amount of time that you can do, for example, you can do website visitors of the last 180 days. So after that point, you're not able to create custom audiences, but I don't believe that your Pixel is not going to understand the ideal avatar of your client, unless if this ideal avatar has changed by the time. Okay, so I think that I wouldn't start immediately with a new Pixel. I would use that, and I would even go with broad targeting in order to test its limit and see if it's going to work or not. Next question. What do you consider expensive? Is $90 expensive? $90 can be for one site super good, and for one ad account, and for another ad account, it can be extremely expensive. So it really depends on the business. And then we go to your next comment over here that says, I have an 80 ROAS average case study. It says, this is not a case study, this is just a flex log. And you are right, okay? I must admit that I was more insecure at that point when I was doing that video. It was from my first videos and I was insecure. I still have accounts like this and I'm not showing them because they don't look real. The thing that you don't know about this video is that there's a guy that he was telling me below that I'm a liar. I told him that I will send him a link. We can go on the account and watch it. And that after we watch it though, he's going to come back to the video and he's going to say that he watched it with me and that he's an asshole. And he just deleted the comment. So I had, and you know, the video that you see is the proof that this has happened. I also explained the reasons inside this video why this has happened. And I was also more insecure because I was starting my YouTube channel and I was afraid that I wasn't going to be accepted for my knowledge. So this is why I did this video. I still have accounts like this, but I'm not showing them to you because these are exceptional cases and they're never going to happen with your ad accounts. So let's move on with that. The same person has a question that says, Konstantinos, so any idea how we can fix the tracking problem? I work with a ton of SaaS companies and they do a custom Excel sheet tracking and it's bad. I know. Like a lot of things to track there. Isn't there any other way? SaaS companies are using a lot Wikit reports most of the times and other programs like AnyTrack. Triple Whale is being used mostly from e-commerce. So if you have a model of subscription model like and you need to know your retention rate and everything, I think that you should use this kind of programs. Other than that, there is no magic solution to the tracking problem. It's not going to be solved. Also, I'm not against the Excel worksheet and watching if it's working or not. Not at all. But what I need to say is that you cannot optimize based on that. You can take an idea if it's working or not, but you cannot optimize based on that. So there are different funnels, for example, that I'm optimizing based on an Excel worksheet. Okay, but they are different and I cannot go through all of the details to explain to you why I'm doing that. But anything that you do, you need to think if it makes sense in a technical level from my videos, from other videos that from people that you like and you understand. So don't expect for a magical solution. Of course, as I said earlier, we have these changes that are coming from Meta about if it's true about the aggregate events. So maybe things are becoming better and better. I really like to work with SaaS companies, to be honest with you, because these companies, they don't operate with 5, 6, 7 ROAS that other e-commerce stores operate, and they operate with 1 or 2 because they have pure profits. In these companies, you can scale to massive numbers. Massive. It's crazy. I love SaaS companies. I'm working with several. Let's go to the next one. Some agencies are offering to share some other trained pixel with an ad account with untrained pixel for results. What do you think of this strategy? So basically, these people, they're saying that this pixel that they're going to share with you is going to be trained. Trained for what reason? For an ideal avatar that is not yours? The results have shown that even for companies, because I had companies, for example, that they had trained pixels and they said, okay, I'm starting a new site. Even when they were selling the same item, but the site was different, let me tell you that it was failing miserably. Because these pixels, the more data they get, they know how to target people for your funnel, for the creatives that you have, for the product and everything. It's not like that they are niche pixels or pixels that whenever you use them, they're going to be trained and you will have zero issues. Now, on the other hand, we have agencies giving you ad accounts. This is a little bit different because when you can have an ad account which is having data spent and everything, and it's not a new ad account, you have less rejected ads, you have a little bit of better quality traffic because you are considered a good advertiser and stuff. But the pixel, no. It's not going to help you at all. And even the audiences, when we share them from one ad account to the other, they are not helping at all. Having an ad account with a lot of spend, maybe it's going to help you a little bit in the quality of traffic. Let's go to the next question. Hi, Konstantinos. Some time ago, I asked you a question about why Facebook results drop down after a few days, and you said that this happens often on new pixels. Yes, they are inconsistent and they have some drop of results. In that case, is it worth trying relaunching ads on a new pixel or, you mean your new pixel, not using new pixel all the time, or that won't do any good in this long run? I don't remember if I have this case study live, most probably I don't. Relaunches are very important. I have a video, I think, that I'm talking about don't try to reinvent the wheel. Relaunches are working very well and they're very crucial, especially to new ad accounts with new pixels, because the new pixels are inconsistent. Now, there's a thin line between abusement and stuff, because a lot of times I see people pretending that they're smarter than the algorithm and they say, okay, I'm going to relaunch the ad every day. You don't need that. Basically, the reason that we're doing it, it's because in the first 24 hours, Facebook is giving you the best quality of traffic, so that you can get some conversions, so that you can continue spending and you can continue optimizing. And this is what we are trying to exploit every time that we do that. But we don't want that to be happening every day. What we want is to have some stable results and data, because with the more data, we will be able to scale. What we are seeing as an effect with the relaunches is the initial boost from Facebook. But in order for us to have a sustainable account, we don't need that this initial push. We need also to have the consistency, and these sales continue coming, coming and coming. So yes, you can do relaunches, you can do as many as you want. You have to keep into your mind that the more you relaunch, the more it's, the more you're going to see the results die faster. And I'm talking about in a course of months when you do that. And don't try to do it daily, because eventually Facebook is going to catch up this behavior and it's not going to help you at all. And it's pity to lose one of your best effects that you can have in Facebook, which is a launch and starting a campaign from the beginning so that Facebook can boost you. So keep doing it. I think it's going to help you a lot. Don't do it every day. Do it every 2 or 3 days when you see that the results are dying. And also keep it to your mind that the ultimate goal is to reach to the point that you will have consistency. Next one, Konstantinos, and do these initial results and drops always come from new pixels, or is it possible for a new pixel to start off well and maintain stability right from the get-go? Super rare cases. I have seen some cases that they had some exceptional products that nobody else had, and super, super rare. If you go with products that other people also have and you're competing with each other, I can tell you that it's not going to be like this. And even for pixels that they were, that the owners were fortunate enough for having a good site and everything worked, even with broad targeting immediately, the consistency wasn't there. There are rare cases that you go immediately and this explodes, and most probably, most of the times, it's coming from sites that they had already organic traffic and they were not advertising. Something that starts immediately with zero organic traffic, zero nothing, and you start advertise, like 99.9% of the cases, you're going to have an inconsistent pixel that doesn't understand it. You're going to have better results if you, if you have a good product and everything and you have less competition, but it's not going to be consistent at the start. Let's go to the last question. Hi, Konstantinos. I'm doing lead gen on Facebook ads. What's your local lead gen video and follow e-com topics too? But I'm still confused in the crazy method works on new ad account with near no pixel data. If not, what should I do? Thanks in advance. The crazy method is not a method for new pixels and new ad accounts in the sense of starting immediately with that. You can use the crazy method in new pixels and new ad accounts, but you need first to see what is working. Because what is the crazy method? The crazy method is when you use exactly the same ad set and creatives and targeting and everything, and you duplicate it several times so that we can target several hot pockets at the same time. If you don't know that something is working, why do you want to target several hot pockets in this audience? So my suggestion to you is this: do normal CBO campaigns. Start testing different creatives, different targeting, different everything, in order to be able to see what is working. And when you find something that's going to work, then go and use the crazy method. And then you asked me also, but I don't have a print screen for that, I just wrote it here, that for initial testing, do we ABO or CBO? I don't like ABO. I like to do CBO because I believe this. There is no point for you to spend a lot of money or even test all of the creatives. Because testing all of the creatives means that you're going to lose money. Okay, so it's an investment to test all of the creatives. I'm against that, but especially for new accounts that they need results, I'm all about CBO. So put the creatives there, let them compete with each other, and try to test what is working while you are having sales instead of just testing. And most of the times you test, and because your pixel is also new, you have something that worked because you were fortunate enough, and then you launch it and it's not working. So in my opinion, try to have a CBO campaign with all the creatives, let them compete with each other, and even if all of them are not going to be tested, it's fine. Just think of this CBO as a big test, not as a test of each individual creative or copy. So do it like this and try to have sales while you are testing at the same time in order to find what is working, especially in new ad accounts. This is important. Now, don't look in other big ad accounts that we're doing ABO campaigns with testing, because over there, whatever you're going to do, it's going to have some sales. With the ABO, we're trying, and the ABO is also more sustainable because all of them are going to work. But with the ABO over there, we're trying to see which one of those is better, and if we can use it for scaling. But even in that way, I don't use it in big ad accounts, and I like to go immediately with testing all of my creatives with Advantage Plus in the bigger ad accounts. Because again, I believe in that. I have seen several agencies having ad accounts that they have one campaign for testing ABO, one campaign for which is the normal campaign that they scale or whatever, and one campaign with retargeting. For me, this ABO testing thing is all about that they can get another month of work with you and propose that. And the second other thing that I'm also seeing is that, sorry, but someone was ringing the door. So I was saying basically that these agencies, they have three campaigns. One of them is for testing. One of them is for the ABA testing. The other one is for normal campaign, and the other one is for retargeting. And the thing here is that when they do that, they are spending so much money that a lot of times they cannot even cover the expenses, or they are even depleting the profits of the CBO, which is the normal campaign which should bring the profits. So I don't see why you should not, even on bigger accounts, you should not do testing and sales at the same time and have some profits. Now, let's go to the last part, which is going to be the freelancer diaries. And let's start with that. I want to sell my business idea. It's what he says. So this is a very big sign of somebody who is lazy, by the way, because everybody wants to sell an idea and not work about that, whatever. So here, hello freelancers, my name is Dan. Actually, I'm looking buyers for my business idea. I have new business idea for make good marketing company. No one has this type of idea, and this is new, something best. His English is awful. No competitors, no one already have this type of company or startup where brands buy our service for market their products without Facebook or Google Ads. This is new way to product marketing and people can make money. This business strategy, how do you know that they are going to make money if you haven't tested it? And then it says this business strategy gives the part-time job to the people. Our service helps to brands increase sales because we are building new marketing platform. Awful English. So the whole thing here is, and what why I put this in the freelancer diaries is because a lot of times when you are seeing something and you are saying that, nobody is doing that, I'm going to do it and I'm going to make money, you are wrong, because the situation here is this. These situations mean that maybe everybody else tried and they have actually failed. So basically, don't try to do things that others haven't done. Unless if you are so sure about your idea, because if you're so sure about your idea, either you haven't seen the others that they are doing it, and there are many that they do it, or you are Elon Musk and in a level of super big innovation. Next one and last one. This guy over here proposes that he can make you a millionaire, because we will pay you $1 million to help us educate people about Bitcoin RX. Plus, we will give you 1 million Bitcoin RX for you to give away free to your followers as a promotion. You give away 1 million Bitcoin RX and you keep 1 million Bitcoin RX for yourself. So basically, he's proposing that he's going to make us millionaires because of this Bitcoin that maybe it's worth a cent of a cent. And whoever is going to make it famous, he's going to make a million. And my question is, if I can make famous a cryptocurrency, why wouldn't make my own and make it famous? So that's all that I had for you. I hope you liked the podcast, and we will talk again in the next week that is coming with another exciting topic and, of course, your questions. This was the Facebook Ads Breaking News Podcast. Like it or not, it is what it is.